You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Locked On Mets is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Now, do you guys really want me to talk about an 8-2 loss today where Trevor Williams didn't look good and Chasen Shreve looked worse and the only offense to account for was a solo homer by Pete Alonso and another by Eduardo Escobar? There you go, I talked about it. That's the game recap. On the show, what we're going to talk about is in the first segment, the All-Star voting results, at least up to this point, have been released. So I'm going to go through those numbers and we're going to spend the show today talking about the Mets outfield. Do any of these guys qualify to be in the All-Star game? How have they been able to be such a functional unit, both offensively and defensively? We'll talk about the offense in the second segment, the defense in the final segment, as this has been potentially the best outfield in baseball this year. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing at justbaseball.com, where I work as the managing editor. Hey, Mets fans, you're going to love this. Today's episode is brought to you by the Sports Card Investor app. Welcome to the world of trading cards reimagined. Stay tuned later in the show for more information on this awesome new tool for collectors. You're going to want to check out the Sports Card Investor app. Now, the MLB All-Star voting is well underway, and we now have the first little bit of the results. And the way this works out now is you have phase one of voting, the fan voting. This eliminates the field down to the top two contenders at each position, top six for the outfield. And then you look at the players who are left who are not finalists. The players then decide who gets to start the game. So with that said, the early returns on the voting. You got Pete Alonso, no surprise at all, in second place. So he will most likely be in that final round with Paul Goldschmidt. But Goldschmidt, the overwhelming favorite, has way more votes than Alonso, over 330,000, and he's having the better season, so I still think Goldschmidt will be the starting first baseman. You got Jeff McNeil, who is third among second basemen, is within 10,000 votes of Ozzie Albies, who's hurt and won't be available to play in the All-Star game anyway. So at this point, it would stand to reason that McNeil would go up against Jazz Chisholm. Who wins that if it comes down to a vote of the players? Does Jeff McNeil have more fans around the league when it comes to the other players? Or does Chisholm? I don't know. Chisholm's a little bit polarizing. Maybe Jeff McNeil gets a start in the All-Star game at second base after all. You got Lindor, third among shortstops, nearly 80,000 votes behind Dansby Swanson. It's up to you, Mets fans. You got to vote for him. Get him into that final, although I think Trey Turner most likely still gets the nod. I think Lindor has a good chance to still make it as one of the bench players. You go to the outfield, though. This is where we're going to spend the show today. Starling Marte in the top six right now. He would qualify, and based on some of the people ahead of them, I think he has a chance to start. You got Mookie Betts and Ronald Acuna Jr., the two clear starters in this All-Star game, 1.4 million votes apiece, and they deserve it. You know, they will be starting in the All-Star game. Jock Peterson's third with 630,000 votes. Then you got Marte at 470, so I don't think he can close that gap, but it really doesn't matter. He just has to be one of the top six, and the players vote. Now, Jock Peterson is a pretty popular player. I could see him getting the push from the player vote. But then again, Starling Marte's season, last year, I don't even believe he did get – did he get All-Star recognition? He should have, but something tells me he did not. Let me see if I'm wrong about that. Starling Marte, okay, so he did get – no, but that was 2016. So Marte, despite everything, was not an All-Star last season. So I don't know. I could see Marte potentially squeaking in on the player's vote. Although Peterson has the home runs this year that would be All-Star worthy. You got Juan Soto behind Marte at 450K, Adam Duvall at 332, Mark Canna in seventh at 320. So Canna could sneak into the top six. He's certainly having a better season than Adam Duvall, but the Braves fans have been voting probably a little bit better than the Mets fans, to be honest. Then you got Brandon Nimmo at 250K in 11th, which is crazy because Nimmo isn't getting respect from Mets fans voting, yet he's arguably been the best outfielder on the Mets unless we qualify Jeff McNeil as an outfielder. I wrote an article probably about 2 weeks ago now for Just Baseball giving the most deserving all-star starters for the National League. We also had one for the American League that our guy Jack McMullen wrote. And when I did the NL, I had Jeff McNeil as an outfielder. Now, he doesn't qualify as an outfielder when it comes to voting, but if you talk about, you know, his role this season, he's played a little bit of both, and he deserves to start somewhere, whether that's second base or in the outfield. If you call him an outfielder, he's been the second best outfielder in the National League this year with a 2.5 F4. His 327 batting average is the top mark. His 386 on-base percentage is 3 points behind Ian Happ for the best on-base percentage for an outfielder. His slugging percentage is fifth best, and he's 2 points shy of Mookie Betts when it comes to WRC+. Now, again, WRC+ is weighted runs created plus, measuring hitters based on a league average of 100. So Jeff McNeil has been 46% better than your league average hitter with a 146 WRC+, which, again, 2 points shy of Mookie Betts at 148. Now we get to the three outfielders we're going to be talking about more throughout the show today. You have Brandon Nimmo, who's tied with Ian Happ for the third best F4 at 2.1. Mark Canha is in a five-way tie in sixth with a 1.5 F4. And you got Starling Marte in 15th with a 1.2 F4. There are only 15 outfielders in the National League right now who have been worth more than a win, and these are qualified hitters. The Mets have four of them, and that is counting McNeil as an outfielder. The Dodgers have three, but like McNeil, that's Gavin Lux being part of that group, and he's more of a super utility guy. You know, Cody Bellinger gets a lot of starts out there. So the Mets right now, whether it is a Mark Canha, Brandon Nimmo, Starling Marte outfield, or if Jeff McNeil's in left field instead of Canha, regardless of whatever machination they put together, the Mets are rolling out three quality hitters who are defending their position well every single day in the outfield. And that's just something they haven't had recently. How many times over the past couple of years have we seen, whether it's a Dom Smith in left, the J.D. Davis in left, whether it is the corpse of a Jose Bautista or a Carlos Gomez or a Rajay Davis. I mean, there's been so many guys who have been shuffled in and out of this outfield, and it's never been whole. You know, there were so many times where Juan Lagares was out there, and you had your bright spots, you know, Michael Conforto, a longtime anchor, you know, before, Conforto, you know, Granderson came into the mix in 2014. The two of them were solid together for a couple of years there. Nimmo and Conforto together a little bit, but there's just never been three. At most, the Mets have put two quality outfielders out there at a time. And this year, they have four because Jeff McNeil has essentially been the fourth outfielder. You know, Travis Jankowski, Nick Plummer, some of these guys have been on the roster, but when it comes to getting starts, it's been McNeil as the fourth guy that gets cycled in there. And when you have Canha, when you have Nimmo, when you have Marte, and then you have McNeil, it's just great production every single day. I want to talk about the offensive impact that we've seen from the three regular starters in Canha, Nimmo, and Marte. We'll do that in a minute, and then we'll close out the show today talking about their defense. But I want to welcome you to the world of Sports Cards Reimagined. The Sports Card Investor app is the hobby's most powerful resource. Quickly check the value of your favorite cards, find great deals, and profit from the hobby you love. Available completely free in the Google Play and Apple App Stores, the Sports Card Investor app is a must-have for baseball fans. You can easily browse over 630,000 cards from every sport with hundreds more added each week. Check the latest values for your favorite cards within a 7-day or 30-day charts. Find the best prices and buy directly through the app with their eBay Deals feature. Whether you're interested in investing in prospect cards in hopes of finding that next great deal on a player, like you want to invest in a Francisco Alvarez who's tearing the cover off the ball right now, you can get his card before he breaks out the big league level. Or if you want to get nostalgic and let's just say get an old card of Keith Hernandez ahead of his jersey retirement, you can find that at the Sports Card Investor app as well. Download the app today, which again is available in the Google Play and Apple App Stores, or go to sportscardinvestor.com/lockedon. Look over the offensive production the Mets have gotten out of their outfielders, it really has been special to watch. And I want to start with Mark Canna, because I think he's one of the more underappreciated players on this Mets team. What Canna does for the Mets is he's almost the prototypical example of just a quality starting outfielder. I'm pretty sure that's what I was saying when the Mets signed him back this offseason. He's not going to wow you. He's not going to hit 30 home runs. He's not going to swipe 25 bases. He's not going to drive in 90 runs. But he just is a functional piece. In the outfield, he's solid. Does he have a great arm? No. But in left field, that doesn't hurt you too much. He has decent speed to run down balls in the gaps. When he's base running, he does a good job with that. When he's at the dish, he is such a thinker up there. He's so cerebral. I can't think of another Mets hitter in recent years who you watch him process the at-bat, pitch after pitch. You see him just thinking, all right, what did he just throw me? What's coming next? He really is playing a game of chess with the pitcher. And a lot of times it's working for him. And, you know, his advanced stats aren't great. You look at the hard hit stuff, all those different things that indicate future play. Yeah, he hasn't been, one of those players that you look at the Baseball Savant page and it jumps out. You say, wow, this guy's incredible. And he's only going to get better this year. And Nimmo's really the only guy in this outfield, if you talk about the three main starters, who actually has, you know, positive data behind him. Starling Marte's advanced data hasn't been good this year either. But the production and the eye test and what we're seeing, it fits into the mold of this team that hasn't really cared what their exit velos are, hasn't cared about how they're going to be viewed by the analytics snobs. They care about winning games. They care about putting runs on the board, and they care about hitting in big spots. And that's what Mark Canna has done this year. You look at the leverage of at-bats. You know, Fangraphs breaks it down to low leverage, medium leverage, high leverage. In low leverage situations, Mark Canna's hitting 259. In medium leverage situations, he's hitting 329. In high leverage at-bats, he's hitting 364. With runners in scoring position, he's hitting 333. So his best at-bats come where he has to get that runner in. We see him really kind of buckle down. And you look at, you know, what he's hitting this year at 292. I know we don't care about average anymore, and trust me, I'm definitely a proponent of that. On-base percentage is what matters. A walk is as good as a hit. At the same time, though, you know, actually, let me take that back. A walk's not as good as a hit. A walk's almost as good as a hit. But when there's a runner on, a hit's better than a walk, okay? And I think I say that ironically, considering that I'm pretty sure it was yesterday that Canna did draw a bases loaded walk. So in some spots, the walk works, but there are instances where it hits better. And I also think sometimes a hit is an easier way to spark a rally. I don't know why a single sparks a rally better than a walk, but I feel like it does sometimes. You look at his average, though, again, 292. That's the second best among all outfielders. And that's counting McNeil as an outfielder with the best average. Otherwise, Cannon's got the best average of any outfielder in the National League. That's impressive. And all these stats, by the way, were from Fangraphs going into play on Tuesday. They don't get updated as the game goes on. You go through some of the other numbers. His 131 WRC plus, 31% better than your league average hitter, the fourth best among outfielders in the National League. Again, counting McNeil. So if you want to remove him, third best. On base percentage, 383. That would be third best. So very solid there. You look at his strikeout rate. It's the lowest of his career at 18.5%. His walk rate is a little bit down. Overall, though, like I said, he's giving you good at-bats. He's hitting 379 against the shift. That's another thing that I want to explore a little bit more potentially throughout this week. I think we might actually have Aram Layton working on a piece for that for Just Baseball. So he might do the research for me because he wants to talk about why would anyone ever shift Jeff McNeil again. And I told him, hey, look at Canna's numbers too. Look at Pete Alonso. All these guys are doing well against the shift. But Canna in particular has been really solid in those spots. He's also hitting 462 for what it's worth in three games out of the leadoff spot. Now you go over to Starling Marte. He carried a 225 average into May. Yet you look up now, 282 hitter, which is basically what you expect from Starling Marte to be about a 280 hitter, about a 330 on base. Right now it's 329. And you want his slugging around 450. It's at 445. They're getting about what you want from him. You'd like him to steal some more bases and maybe just give you a little bit better at bats. As I already said, some of the advanced metrics don't love Marte this year, but you look at his impact, and I've said it all year, with Nimmo and Marte at the top of your order, it just feels like there's always something going on early in games. There's always some traffic. He also has had a handful of instances where he's manufactured runs with his legs. And I just think that you can't really look at what Starling Marte has brought to this team based solely on the numbers and understand his value. I think we've seen this year what he brings to the team. He's just a step up athletically from really anybody they have. He is just a supreme gifted athlete. And also, like Mark Canna, he's hitting well in high leverage spots. A 235 average in what Fangraphs categorized as low leverage situations. 337 in medium leverage, 375 in high leverage. So he's also been clutch. Closing it out with Brandon Nimmo. Nimmo, again, is the one that has some advanced metrics that really like him. His chase rate's over. It's in the 92nd percentile. You know, his walk rate, strikeout rate are both up there among the top hitters in the league. His expected batting average as well. Some of the other stuff like average exit velocity and things of that nature. He's done well, yet you look at some of the other numbers with him, and it's interesting because his walk percentage is down. For his career, his walk rate's been 14.2%. This year, it's at 10.2%. I imagine that will tick up. We know Nimmo has a great eye, really good plate discipline, so I'm sure we're going to see some positive regression to his career means there. You look at his on-base percentage for his career, it's at 389. This year, it's at 364. So a little bit down, but he's still hitting 269, 414 slugging. His WRC plus is 128. He's still been a quality batter in this lineup, another key cog. And all of it has combined. I think we've seen this Mets lineup just gel together with so many guys giving quality professional at-bats. And that's what you can say about all three of these guys. There's no wasted at-bats. It's not like we saw last year. Dom Smith's back. I love him. I'm happy he's back up. Good to see him get a hit in his first appearance back up with the team today. But last year, if it was Dom Smith and Kevin Pillar out there, you were just getting bad at bats sometimes from your outfielders. And that's not even to mention the bad defense. You look at runs scored in RBIs. I know these are old school stats. No one cares about them anymore. But I still think if we're talking about winning games, scoring runs is important, right? So you look at the three main guys here. 115 runs scored between Mark Canna, Brandon Nimmo, and Starling Marte, 83 RBIs. Obviously, when they hit home runs, you have to remove that from the equation. That's duplicating when you're talking about total runs produced that these guys are responsible for. But if you remove their 16 home runs from that combined total there, you're talking about 182 runs that these three guys are responsible for out of 350 runs scored by the Mets this season. Quick math tells you that's more than half. Really impressive. Now, obviously, some of that doesn't quite all come together because obviously at times, Canna or Nimmo or Marte are driving in each other, right? So that's not an exact science. But my point is, if you want to break it down by their runs scored or their RBIs, 115 runs scored by the three of them out of the 350, 83 RBIs. They have just been really, really productive for this Mets team, and it's why their offense has been so good this year. But what I think has really got underrated as well is it's the best defensive outfield the Mets have had in a long time. I want to talk about that in just a minute. But with spring in the air, it's time for renewal and growth, both personally and professionally. And as your small business grows, LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people you want to talk to faster and for free. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job in the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know that every week, nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnMLB. Again, that's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnMLB. To post your job for free, terms and conditions apply. Whether you are ready to pop the question or you're celebrating a milestone moment, find jewelry as unique as her with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. There you can build the engagement ring of her dreams with the simple online tools to let you choose diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as setting style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft her perfect engagement ring. Each ring is one of a kind. You can celebrate life's special moments with fine jewelry because Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7, available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget for every occasion. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com, and Locked On Mets listeners get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive does include engagement. Use the code Locked On. Again, that's code Locked On. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in a discreet package that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace by going to BlueNile.com today. The one thing that I think fans always underrate about what it takes to win baseball games is having a good defense. Something I harp on a lot on this show. It's why, I mean, today I'm wearing my Louis Guillorme shirt. It's why I love him so much. He's an incredible defensive player. It's why Francisco Lindor, even when he goes through his slumps, is indispensable for this team because his value at shortstop is so premium for this roster to have him out there every day. So you need strong defenders. And as I already mentioned on the show, for so many years, left field was a revolving door of albatrosses defensively. And as much as Dom Smith did an incredible job making himself respectable out there, not just a complete walking error, he still wasn't getting the balls in the gaps. He still didn't quite have that speed. He's not an outfielder. And now they have three outfielders, and even four when you consider what Jeff McNeil can do out there. This season, Mark Canna's been worth two outs above average in the outfield. That's in the 79th percentile among all fielders. Now, defensive run saves has him at -3. I think overall, he's not elite defensively. He's solid. He actually does a weird thing that I don't think I've talked about before. Anyone else notice that he like crouches when he catches a lot of fly balls? He catches balls in some of the weirdest ways that you'll see, especially some of the routine ones where he kind of lowers his center of gravity before he catches it. But whatever works for you, whatever works. And he's even played a pretty decent center field this year, which has allowed Starling Marte to stay in right. And I look at Starling Marte's defensive metrics. It's interesting that it's been worth four defensive runs saved in right field, which is the best mark of any outfielder on the Mets. Yet you go to outs above average, which is the metric that I generally look at more, and he's at -2 outs above average in the 16th percentile in baseball. Now, I think outs above average, when you make an error, it hurts you a little bit more than it does on defensive run save. I think that's why this year we've seen Francisco Lindor at times, I think, fare a little bit better, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't checked that tonight, so don't quote me on it for sure. But from my recollection earlier in the year, he was faring better in defensive run saved than he was in outs above average. And I think it's partially because of that. Errors hurt you a little bit more based on the outs above average metric. But from what I've seen this year, I mean, Starling Marte in right field has been an upgrade over Michael Conforto. I think Conforto did a really great job learning the position. We saw he did have a strong arm, but Starling Marte's arm is so strong that, I mean, he's not even getting people to test him. I mean, they're glued to second base on any fly ball hit to right field. No one's tagging up to get third. And if they do, they're getting gunned down. And I also don't think anyone's really testing them to come home. And so sometimes that's even better defense than the guy that they'll try to run on that guns them out, like Conforto did many times. If you got that reputation where they don't even want to test you, that just shows the type of respect that Marte has. And I do think that as he continues to learn the position out there, particularly at Citi Field, he's only going to get better and better. And I coming into the season, you know, I was talking about Marte as a right fielder as soon as they signed him. I think it's the perfect home for him for the next 4 years. It's going to help him age a little bit, you know, age a little more gracefully than if he was out in center field. Hopefully, you know, keeps him healthy a little bit more. But I also think that he has gold glove potential out there. It's tough when you got Mookie Betts playing right field in the same league. But I still think that he's been better than the numbers would indicate. Go to Brandon Nimmo, -1 defensive run saved, but outs above average, three outs above average. He's in the 86th percentile among center fielder. He's been one of the best center fielders in baseball since the start of the 2021 season, seven outs above average. Incredible to see his progression. There was a time where we thought that Nimmo could only play left field. The idea of him in center was simply just out of default because you didn't have anyone that could played the position and hit well. He said, all right, well, he's a natural center fielder. Let's see if he can learn. And he has just been so much better than I think anyone ever anticipated. We saw in the game tonight, right? He jumped back and caught a ball, you know, leaping into the wall. Obviously his arm isn't great either, but that's not as big of an obstacle in center as it would have been in right. And again, this is why Martin Wright made so much sense, because Canna and Nemo, neither of them had that arm that you would want out in right field. That's why, honestly, I think the second best right fielder on the team is Jeff McNeil. And Jeff McNeil has been worth one out above average in left this year. So four quality defensive outfielders, and I think that has helped everything for this team, especially when you're also talking about having most days, if it's not McNeil at second base, it's Guillorme, and you have Lindor. So up the middle, the Mets defense with Nemo in center and those guys manning those middle infield positions, that's what you can really look at for why this team defense has been so great. You want to be strong up the middle. We've always said that. And yet there was years where it would be Asdrubal Cabrera and Michael Conforto. You know, Asdrubal at short, Michael Conforto in center, and like a Neil Walker at second. That just wasn't going to get the job done. Last little note before we close the show today. Max Scherzer pitched in a real game tonight in Binghamton. That's why we're rocking the Binghamton Rumble Ponies hat if you're watching on YouTube. 3 1/3 innings pitched. My notes here with three home runs. He did not give up three home runs. He gave up one. Three hits, two earned runs, a walk, six strikeouts, 65 pitches, 46 strikes. The big thing to note, he entered into the fourth after he gave up a home run. They pulled him, but he got what he wanted in that he was able to do four up downs, threw 65 pitches, exactly the target. Assuming he's fine, you know, he wakes up tomorrow feeling good, he'll probably be starting for the Mets on Sunday in Miami. That's pretty awesome to think about. He could be back this soon, which would have his return set for the 26th of June. If you would have said that when he went down in the middle of May, man, people would have been shocked. So he's about to hit the shortest end of that 6 to 8 week timetable, a timetable that at the time I thought it might have been 6 to 8 weeks before he can even start throwing again. He's been able to beat this injury pretty quickly. Again, knock on wood, hopefully wakes up feeling good. And as he said, if he can get up to 80 pitches and he can throw competitively at the MLB level, he's going to do that. I imagine he does that against the Marlins on Sunday, which would be really exciting. Anyway, on tomorrow's show, I'll be recapping the final game of this two-game set against the Astros. And it'll be for a Thursday show, so maybe I'll try to come up with some throwback Thursday content. It's been a minute since we've done that. But anyway, as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, check out the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft. If you search now, the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft has over 50 insiders contributing, from the Odyssey sports experts to the draft experts of the Locked On NBA Big Board. The 5-episode Ultimate NBA Mock Draft is underway already. Make the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft your second listen today.